It's December the 31st. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis all the way to Revelation in just 1 year. Well, here it is, the final day. We started on January the 1st with the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We have made our way by the grace of God through the Pentateuch and the historical books and the wisdom books and the prophetic books of the Old Testament and the Gospels and the book of Acts and the Pauline epistles and the general epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude. And here we are at the very end of the book of Revelation. This is the end of the second year of Let's Read the Bible. And a number of friends have said to me, they've written notes and said, I joined last year. I joined the first of this year. Some people are finishing their first year. Others, their second year. And I'm amazed at all the friends who've said, I have not missed a single day. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome. And may I be the first to say a little bit ahead of time, but this is New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. Here we are on the brink of 2025. Every year I ask the Lord to show me a verse or an idea or a thought from the Bible, be a great theme for the new year. And, you know, I was leaning toward a book in a verse in Deuteronomy that the Lord will be with you wherever you go. There's some great verses like that in Deuteronomy and in the book of Joshua. But for some reason, the Lord just put this on my mind that the verse for 2025 should be Joshua 24:15, where Joshua, an old man, is saying to his people, at the end, having crossed the Jordan River and conquered the promised land, the end of his life, he says, now look, if you want to go back and serve the gods of your ancestors back there on earth, the Chaldees, go ahead and do it. You live among the pagans, the Amorites. If you want to serve their gods, go ahead and do it. You do whatever you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That to me is the theme verse for 2025. I believe this coming year is going to be a year of decision, a time when God's people must decide what God they will serve. And I think we all ought to say here at the beginning of a new year, it doesn't matter what else happens. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I hope you will say hello. And in the comments, I won't be able to see them, at least most of them, until after we finish the Bible reading this morning. But for the last time this year, check in with us. You know, we've had people from all across America. We've had friends from around the world, distant countries. The internet is wonderful. Brings us all together in a fellowship and a family. So do check in and let us know where you are. And here on this last day of the second year, I do need to say some words of thanks. This is a legacy project. It would have been impossible without the support of Marlene, my wife. This year we celebrated our 50th anniversary. I think every good thing that's come into my life in the last 50 years has come into it because of her. She has been so supportive of this project. And of course, you know, she read Ruth and she read Esther and she read Lamentations and she read 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. What a blessing those days of Bible reading have been. Marlene, thank you, sweetheart, for standing with me. And we celebrate together this final day to Josh and Leah and Knox and Violet, who took my disheveled office down here in the basement and built this beautiful backdrop for me 2 years ago, before we started the first year of Bible reading. To the board of Keep Believing Ministries, who've steadfastly encouraged me in this project, and to all of you who hopped on the Bible bus, first year, second year, it doesn't matter. And so many of you said you're looking forward to the third year of reading the Bible together. And let me say this just on a very personal note. We did not know, Marlene and I did not know the challenges that would come, health challenges that would be coming to us this year. Your prayers have meant so much to us. Thank you. So today, Revelation 21 and 22, what shall we say about this? Well, this is not only the end of the Bible. It's the most detailed picture of heaven in all of the Word of God. And as we're reading this in just a moment, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to pay attention to several places in these last two chapters where John emphasizes not just the glory and the beauty of heaven, but who's there and who's not there. If anything is clear all the way through the Bible, not everyone who talks about heaven is going there. Not everybody who says, I'm going to heaven, is actually going to end up there. So there's an emphasis in these last two chapters on who makes it and who doesn't. And then I want you to notice as we read these chapters, the word not or the word no. John was overwhelmed by the vision of the heavenly city. In fact, he was so overwhelmed by what he saw that I think the only way he could express the glory of it, of the vision that God gave him, was in the negative. There will be in heaven no tears, no pain, no grief, no sorrow, no night, no sickness, no cancer, no Alzheimer's, no ALS, no stroke, no heart attack, no sounds of shooting in the middle of the night, no cries for help, no EMTs and first responders on the way. Why? Because in that glad city, in that city, the city that God builds, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no suffering. There are no mortuaries. There are no cemeteries. Think about this. There are no graves dug into the hillsides of heaven. If you make it to that glad city, you will live forever. Now, I've been in the ministry for, 52 years now. My three brothers, Andy, Alan, and Ron, I love each one of them. All three of them are medical doctors, just like my dad was a medical doctor. My uncle Clarence was a medical doctor. There's a lot of medicine in my family tree. And as I was studying, reading this passage, preparation for today, I thought about Alan and Andy and Ron in heaven. They're going to have to get new occupations because there's not going to be any Medicare, not going to be any medical insurance, not going to be any clinics, not going to be any hospitals, because there'll be no sickness, no death, no dying. As I read this, my mind just was drawn to friends I've known who've gone on before, Danny and Bruce and Lynn and Gary and John and Helen and Bob and Harry and Millie and Sandy and Phyllis and Al and Wayne and many, many more. Marlene and I have often said, and we've said this a lot lately, you know, when you're young, heaven is like an idea. It's an idea, but it doesn't feel entirely real. If you live long enough, you end up with a lot of friends over there. And I think if you live way long enough, you end up with more friends in heaven than you do on the earth. And we've lived long enough to begin to feel that way. A Puritan writer said this, there will be victory on the last battlefield. Victory on the last battlefield. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? O grave, where is your victory? On the last great battlefield, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will have the victory. So now, Revelation 21 and 22. Revelation 21, the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 22, the river of life and the last invitation of the Bible. And so, Lord, we thank you for helping us through this year. We thank you for your faithfulness. We feel amazed. Lord, you are good. You are so, so good. Your faithfulness extends forever and ever from one generation to another. You have helped us when we felt like we couldn't do it. You've helped us all the way through to read your holy word. So we pray for the final time this year. Open the eyes of our heart. Help us to understand what you are saying to us today. May we be filled with hope and joy and excitement as we consider our eternal home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more. Because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a precious jewel, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed on the gates. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. The city wall had 12 foundations, and the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb were on the foundations. The one who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out in a square. Its length and width are the same. He measured the city with the rod at 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and its height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to human measurement, which the angel used. The building material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first foundation is jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, the 12th gate. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. I did not see a temple in it, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never close by day, because it will never be night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. Let the holy still be holy. Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are written about in this book. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen. It's done. By God's grace, we have come to the end of God's holy word. We thank the Lord for helping us to start in Genesis and here at the end of the year, finish in the book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A couple of questions about these two chapters. I do get this. Pastor Ray, this we're reading about, is this literal or is this figurative? What do you mean? Well, the streets of gold, literal or figurative? Gates of pearl, literal or figurative? Although the emeralds and the jacinth and the amethyst and the holy city coming down from heaven and the city built in a great square and great high walls, is that literal or is that figurative? The answer, of course, is yes, absolutely. It is both literal and it is figurative. It is literal in that John is using language, human language, to describe the wonders of the vision that God showed him. Are the streets really of gold? Yes, but it's some sort of transparent gold, which is not the kind of gold we have on the earth. Are there really gates made of pearl? Yes. And truly, is there really a river of life? I have no doubt about that. Yes, of course, there's a river of life. And are there trees there? And with the fruit every month, is all that true? Yeah, it's all true. And look, heaven's going to be, I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be something like this. We're going to open our eyes and we're going to say, it's nothing like I imagined. It's everything I always wanted. Let me say that again. I think we're going to look at the glory of heaven and say, it's nothing like what I imagined. It's everything John said, but it's way beyond that. So when we get there, it's going to be glorious beyond our imagining. And yet, it will be what we always wanted and always dreamed it would be. If somebody says, where's heaven? Do you remember the story of the thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We wonder about the word paradise. We glory in the word today. You know the best part of that? With me. Heaven is where Jesus is. I remember years ago, maybe 25 years ago now, I was down in Atlanta. This is when we were up in living in Oak Park, Illinois, and I was down in Atlanta for a bookseller's convention, and I was missing Marlene, and I called her, and I told her I couldn't wait to see her. And it was true. I couldn't. I was tired and worn out and a little bit lonely. honey, I can't wait to see you. When I got home, you know, I told her, I can't wait to get home. But when I got home, I didn't go and hug the drapes and say, oh, drapes, I missed you. I didn't go down and kiss the rug and say, oh, rug, I missed you. I didn't sit on the couch and say, oh, couch, I love you so much. Home, to me, is where she is. And if she's not there, it's not home to me. Home, for the child of God, is where Jesus is. There's a lot of questions about our loved ones. I gave that list, and it's a very short list, of people I know who've gone from this life to life eternal, who already in heaven. A lot of questions we want to have. Are our loved ones okay? Yeah, they're okay. They're with Jesus. Heaven is where Jesus is. And the rest will be revealed to us when we get there. Did you notice this? I come quickly. Did you get that in chapter 22? The time is near. The time is soon. I come. One of the last things Jesus says is, don't seal up this book. Get the word about Revelation out because I'm coming quickly. I am coming soon. The time is near. So if it was near 2,000 years ago, how much closer it must be today. And this note, the Bible begins and ends in the same place. It begins in paradise and it ends in paradise. Aren't you glad about that? Sin cannot destroy God's plan. Satan is evil, but he cannot derail God's plan of redemption. Our God is sovereign. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, here at the end, let me wrap up. What's ahead then for planet Earth? Let me give you four things. Just in light of all the book of Revelation, four things that are ahead for planet Earth. Number one, untold trouble, sorrow, and deception. There is an Antichrist. He may already be alive on planet Earth. Untold trouble, untold sorrow, and untold spiritual deception. Millions of people are going to follow the Antichrist to their eternal ruin. Be alert. Be alert. Number two, multitudes will be saved in the days ahead. Remember, the 144,000 are going to be sealed. And then I believe they're going to become like 144,000 Billy Grahams going around the earth, and a great multitude, which no man could number from every tribe, tongue, nation, and kindred, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Their robes are white because they've washed them in the blood of the Lamb. Multitudes are going to be saved. They're going to be saved. There's going to be a last time turning to the Lord, last days turning to the Lord. So first, be alert. Number two, be bold. Number three, we're going to see in the last days rising tide of persecution against Christians. Are you paying attention to what's happening in Africa? Are you paying attention to what's happening in the Middle East? Are you paying attention to what's happening in China? Are you paying attention to what's happening in India? Our brothers and sisters are under enormous pressure. Are you paying attention to what's happening right here in America? Be alert. Be bold. Persecution is on the way. Trouble is on the way. For those who are following Jesus, be brave. Be brave. Here's the final thing. What's ahead for planet Earth? Jesus is coming soon. Be ready. Be alert. Be bold. Be brave. And be ready. There's a reason the Bible calls the coming of Christ the blessed hope. So thank you so much, friends, for being with us as we have read through the Bible together. We're going to pray now and commit this Bible reading time that we have had to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. O Lord, thy word is truth. Your word is life. These are the words of our God. We pray, Father, help us as we have read your word together this year. Help us to believe it. Help us to live it. And help us to show that we believe it by the way that we live. So now, Father, thank you for your faithfulness in good times and bad, in hard times and happy times, sad days and joyful days. Thank you that we stand at the end of this year full of gratitude to you. Lord, we would not have made it if the Lord himself had not helped us. So we give you all the glory and all the thanks. May we never forget the things that we have learned, the things that you've taught us. Make us people of the book now and in the days to come. We wrap up this year and give it to you. And we thank you, Lord. You have promised to go with us in the new year. You've said you will lead us. You've said you will guide us. You've said you will take care of us. We are your people. We look forward to the day when we will rejoice with the saints of God forever. And we happily say, with the saints of all the ages, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So thank you very much. That ends the second year of Let's Read the Bible. And guess what? Tomorrow's New Year's Day. And while you're watching the parades and football and everything else, come back tomorrow, because guess where we're going to be? In the book of Genesis, starting year number 3 of Let's Read the Bible. Thank you, friends. It has been a wonderful journey. See you back here tomorrow morning. God bless.